for the past year or so, I've been going through talking about the importance of witness in the Bible and how God does things with witnesses and how those witnesses are essentially authors of our scriptures. And it's from these authors, in one sense, we get the word authority. And so a lot of secular scholars, when they are trying to dispute what the Bible teaches us, will call into question the actual authorship of the Bible. And in that way, they can discount the authority with which that our scriptures are written. We looked last time at the book of Daniel, which we've been going through with Dr. Ost in Messages, and we looked at why we can believe the book of Daniel was written when it was. Today I want to talk about the book of Isaiah, So was Isaiah forged? That's kind of our question today. Was Isaiah forged? Were there several authors to Isaiah who wrote later in Isaiah's name in order to establish what we have in our scriptures? The secular explanation for the book of Isaiah is that it was written by not one, but by two or even three authors, with chapters 1 through 39 being written by the first author, and chapters 40 to 55 written by a second author, and chapters 56 through 66 written again by that second author or possibly by a third author. Why do they believe this? All right, I'll give you three reasons here. We'll go through these really quickly. There are different themes and settings in each of these groupings of the book of Isaiah. Chapters 1 through 39 appear to be set before the captivity of Israel, somewhere in this 8th century, scholars will say. Chapters 40 through 55 seem to be set after the captivity, some 150 years later in the 6th century. And chapters 56 through 66 seem to be set even later, of course, in the millennium and such. Second, the different chapters contain different writing styles, So we had different themes and settings. Second point was different writing styles. Chapters 1 through 39 are prose, while chapters 40 through 66 are poetry. Therefore, it must be different authors. And finally, the third reason is that some of the prophecies in Isaiah seem to be much too clear and much too authoritative to have been written before their time. Therefore, they must have been written after the historical events occur. Most notably would be in Isaiah 45 and verse 1. Isaiah 45 and verse 1. Here we have a reference to a particular leader that was to arise and do some great works. And notice here what Isaiah writes in Isaiah 45 and verse 1, "Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus." So he actually names this individual, "whose right hand I've held to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut." Now we would know that, of course, if Cyrus is named here, secular scholars say, this must have been written after Cyrus had already come into being. And further, we read here, of course, about the way in which Babylon fell, which we also recount there in the book of Daniel. So the natural inclination then is to assume that this work had to have been written after these events. All right, now we're going to go back to the traditional explanation of when the book of Isaiah was written and why we can actually believe that that might be the case. In fact, is the case. Let's go to Isaiah 1 and verse 1. We'll read about when Isaiah was writing these things. Isaiah 1 and verse 1 tells us when Isaiah was around and when he was writing. It says here, "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of," and here we have the various kings that he was that his life continued across, and that he during which he made the various prophecies that are contained in this book. Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So we have four kings listed here of Judah, the last one being Hezekiah. We know that Hezekiah, from the book in Proverbs there, actually had something to do with gathering some of the writings of the Old Testament. So in other words, there was a period during which Hezekiah's reign that they were putting together some of the materials that became part of the Old Testament, including most especially the latter half of Proverbs. So naturally, it would seem that Isaiah and his writing were possibly introduced into Scripture around that time. All right, how can we be sure about Isaiah's dating? We'll give you four reasons that Isaiah can be said to have been written during this period that is listed in verse 1 of chapter 1 of Isaiah. All right, first reason. Okay, multiple author theory, the one that I just talked about, where Isaiah was written by two, maybe three people, that's actually of recent vintage, or relatively recent vintage. That theory originated in the 11th century, which in terms of biblical scholarship is fairly recent, because you'll have people in the 2nd century and the 3rd century kind of coming up with all kinds of theories and such. This one comes all the way out. You have to go to 1100, 1000, before you even hit somebody saying, hey, this book is written by several people. Rabbis came up with it in the 11th century, and then it was popularized in the 18th and 19th century by various Christian biblical scholars, especially the German scholars, who were very much into kind of questioning whether scriptures were actually, the traditions with scriptures were actually true. Okay, second, the multiple author theory is relatively recent. Second, historical tradition says that the prophecies of Isaiah came before the historical events. Historical tradition says that the prophecies contained in Isaiah came before the historical events. So if we were to go to Josephus's Antiquities, book 11, chapter 1, and sections 1 and 2, we would read a recording there of what happened when Cyrus came to the people of Judah. There is a description there of Cyrus reading or being given the book of Isaiah and him seeing his name in the scripture. And it is, in fact, one of the reasons, Josephus says, that Cyrus was moved to tell the Jews to return to build the temple in Jerusalem. So we have this historical precedent that is actually built on the fact that there was something that here in the scripture before the event actually happened. So we have multiple author theory, historical tradition. Now, you could poo-poo that and say, well, Josephus isn't always accurate, and it's true. Josephus gets some things kind of screwy, and you can tell that. We've got two other reasons to go. Okay, third reason. Different styles and themes can be accounted for by their purpose. Different styles and themes can be accounted for by their purpose. So, we talked about how chapters 1 through 39 are prose. After that, we move into poetry. And the second part of that poetry is completely different setting. Well, we have to think about how we write to our particular different audiences. So if we were going to write a letter, and we're going to write a letter to our mom, or we were going to write our letter to our spouse or our girlfriend or our boyfriend or something like that, or we're going to write a letter to our boss or a letter to our son, would we write the same way to each and every single one of those audiences? No, we wouldn't. So we have to consider that Isaiah is actually a work that has different parts that are written for different audiences. There is a theory that Isaiah is actually a collection of sermons, of history, of warnings, of poetry, and so on. And so all of these things that Isaiah wrote are put together into one volume. And therefore, they have different purposes at the time that they are written, and therefore, it doesn't matter that they have different styles and themes. They're written for a different purpose. You're not going to write the same every single time. All right, so we have different styles and themes, can be accounted for by their purpose. Historical tradition saying that prophecy came first. Multiple author theory is very recent. Our last reason is prefixes. Prefixes. And this is getting really into the weeds here, and it's some stuff that I don't quite fully understand because I'm not a Hebrew scholar, so I'm going to quote some people. But the basic point that these scholars that will defend Isaiah as being written by one person, will note that we as people are habit-prone to use particular types of words. And you'll notice that if you listen to certain speakers. You know, I remember years ago, what's your name, is the way Mr. Zimmerman would bring it. He'd say that in every sermon. Certain speakers have different expressions. Certain writers have different expressions. Ways that they can constantly talk, ways that they constantly write. And sometimes we're not necessarily completely aware of these particular tics that we have. And prefixes would be one case where I don't think most of us really take a lot of time thinking about which pronouns and which articles we use. Hey, you say the a lot. Hey, you say, in a lot, and so on and so forth. Well, according to a study by Lamar Adams, Isaiah's Hebrew prefixes, that is, prefixes are commonly translated in English into conjunctions and prepositions such as and to or and with, which unfortunately don't come up in Strong's, we can't look those things up, fit this bill. Various Hebrew expressions appear frequently throughout all of Isaiah, but they never or rarely appear in any other Old Testament book. So now I'm going to quote him. It's a long quote here because he's going to get into some real like nitty-gritty stuff, but you can see the gist of what this kind of proof can lead to and can kind of help you understand that it seems pretty clear that this is one author as opposed to many. Adam says here, both Isaiah sections have a rate of 2, that's equivalent to 0.02 per 50 prefixes for the prefix bet mem, okay, compared to 0 for each of the control texts. 0 indicates that this function prefix was not used in the control text. Another example of uniqueness in the book of Isaiah may be observed in the usage rate of the prefix vav lamed in the English text. Isaiah 19:24 concludes with a description of a condition in the millennial era. In that day shall Israel be the third part with Egypt and with Assyria. In this phrase, the Hebrew prefix vav lamed is rendered and with. This prefix combination may also be translated as and to. In Isaiah 69, we read the verse, to bring your sons unto the name of the Lord your God and to the Holy One of Israel. This has reference to the gathering of exiled Israel in the latter days. The usage rate for Vav Lamed is unique to the book of Isaiah, occurring approximately 0.68 times for every 50 function prefixes in Isaiah A, that's the chapters 1 through 39, and 0.67 times, very close, in Isaiah B, that's second half of Isaiah, compared to 0 for such books as Amos, Micah, Ezekiel. Usage of this prefix occurs at a high rate of 2 per 50 prefixes in the book of Nehemiah, as exemplified in Nehemiah 2:16. So he uses it even 2 to 3 times more often as Isaiah does, Nehemiah does. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. One example of a function prefix which serves as an idiomatic part of speech is the one which translates into and in this. This rate of usage of this phrase was found to be constant across the different sections of the book of Isaiah, in contrast to the rates of usage in other Old Testament texts. This phrase and the other function prefixes in the table that he provides had usage rates so peculiar to the book of Isaiah that single authorship is strongly evident. So there we have it. We have 4 proofs that the book of Isaiah was indeed written by one author and that it was likely written close to the time that the scriptures that is chapter 1, verse 1, actually say it was written. We have multiple authors, that multiple author theory is relatively recent, that historical tradition says the prophecy came first. We have different styles and themes that are accounted for by the different purposes, but the fact that the prefixes are the same across the entire book would suggest highly that we have one author here.